gifts wrapped and ready to go. And I'm sure there's a few of you in here that's you. You already have them ready. Alyssa and her mom, they're ready, except for mine, because I don't tell them what I want till like the day before Christmas, and then they get really frustrated with me. But they're wrapped and ready to go. I am not. I also don't mean, or are you all decorated in your house? Is everything up and ready to go? Looks beautiful. Our inside looks great, because Alyssa has control over that. Our outside, I have not put up Christmas lights yet. I'm sorry. I have failed on that. And so I am still, hopefully we'll get those up. And like in Cope fashion, if you live on our street, you know, they'll probably be up at least 6 months. So I'll get my time out of it. So it's okay. I will be ready, and just for the next, for 2026, and it's coming. But I'm not prepared yet as it comes to Christmas. Maybe some of you aren't either. This time of year is about preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus. A term in a season that we hear every now and then, the Advent season. There are different parts and different highlights at times of that season. And the one that I want us to focus on is the season of hope. Season of hope and preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus as it comes to hope. Now, some of you are saying, well, Tyler, we don't need just hope right now, but we need hope year round. And I agree with you. The season of hope should be throughout the year. Mainly because we have Jesus. But I don't know about you, but for sometimes that can be hard to remember. The hope can be a struggle. Why don't you think for a second? We're getting close to the end. How has your 2025 been? Each of us have had different experiences over this last year. For some of you, maybe you've had the best year yet. I pray to God that that's been your year. But I also know some of you, not so much. How many for you has it been a tough year? Or maybe not the whole year, but just recently you're walking through a difficult season. Or maybe that difficult season was earlier in the year and you're just looking forward to 2026 because things are starting to change. I know I've been hearing more and more recently from many of you in here about the difficult times you're walking through. Whether it's loss of loved ones, struggles in your marriage, difficulty with your kids at home, or the kids that you've launched, struggles with work or family members. Maybe you are walking through a difficult season of injuries or health, and that season doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon. 2025 could have been, and maybe is, a really hard year for you in here. And maybe you're thinking, unfortunately, it's going to go longer. It's not just going to end with 2025. 2026 isn't looking great either because of the things I've just found out or things I know. And that's hard. Those are hard times to walk through. And maybe it's not you, but maybe you're walking with someone else and you're just looking like, got to grab on to something more. I know Alyssa and I, at different times this year, we've looked at each other and said, man, this is a hard season. Because it can be. Right? From parenting our four under four to different health issues or surgeries or things like that, we look up and just say, okay, we're going to make it through it. But man, it's hard. One of the interesting parts about when we are going through these hard seasons is many people don't know that you're going through it unless you're willing to actually share. Many times, if you're like me, we like to keep it inside a little bit and like, I'll share it to a few people, but I don't want a whole lot of people knowing. We don't want to bring other people down, or we don't want to burden other people with our burdens. It can be hard to share at times. The more we keep it inside, the harder it can be to see the hope during these times. I also know that is what keeps us going in these times is the hope of something better. There's something more for us, and that's what keeps us going. We know at some point our kids are going to grow up. They're not going to need us. And these hard times that we're going through right now, they're going to be in a different type of hard time. It's going to be different. But we want to cherish the times that we have at the moment. But there's hope of something that I'll get more sleep in the future, maybe. I've heard that's not the case, but there's hope of something more. The hope that we will make it through to the other side. The hope of a better year in 2026. It's like, oh, 2026 is almost here. It's going to be better. It's got to be better, right? The hope it'll get easier. The hope is what we hang on to. Before Jesus was born, the Israelites were going through a difficult season. All because sin had entered the earth and separated them from God. Okay, I know. Their season was a little bit longer than what sometimes we consider seasons. I mean, centuries long, not just a year. So, might be a little bit of an understatement. They were struggling, and they were on the struggle bus. Struggled staying faithful to God, and continue to be attacked by other countries. They were taken captive, and there were being divisions within their own people. It was rough. They were needing hope. They were needing something to live for. Even though they knew God and they knew of Him, and God was wanting them to trust in Him, they needed something more. They needed a hope of reconciliation with God. Hope of something to bring them back to their God. And thankfully, God never gave up on them. I think I would have been done after a couple times if I was God. So I'm thankful Tyler is not God. Because there's times when others make mistakes. I'm like, all right, that's the third time. I'm done. I can't do this anymore. But thankfully, that's not God. His love for His people was going to provide hope for them, and soon a Messiah. His prophets, like Isaiah, were there to share with His people the hope of a Savior, to give them hope of something more. Because that is something, as we're going through difficult times, we just want hope. And even if it's not a difficult time, it's just like, oh, kind of the mundane. We want hope of something more. Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll start in verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice because you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it and with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." You see, the part of the very first of the darkness, the people walking in darkness, but a great light is coming. A child is to be born. Isaiah is telling of the turmoil and despair that has come to his people. But then shares about the Messiah, the one who is to bring hope. The one is to give the Israelites hope of something better. The hope of reconciliation, the hope that this isn't what it's all about. There is more. But also to tell them to turn back to God. Later on, in that passage, he shares that there is still destruction to be had. There's still destruction to come because of your unfaithfulness. Unfortunately, there's still more. The Savior is coming. But you need to turn back to God now. But he's wanting to give them hope. There is hope. And we know, as reading through Scripture, the Israelites have hung on to that hope. There is Messiah to come. Okay, things are not good. There is Messiah that is coming for us. In preparing for this lesson, I used some input from Jason Lawrence Turner's series on Right Now Media called Unexpected. You're welcome to go and look at that. Some great information that he has there, just kind of entering the Christmas season and Advent season. And one of the things he uses is an Old Testament passage from Micah 5. Because throughout we see prophets continue to tell the Israelites, hey, there are troubles now, but there is hope to come. Your Savior is to come. The unexpected hope of God in times of trouble. I say unexpected, but God continued to provide hope to them even when it wasn't providing a Savior. He just wanted them to turn back, and he knew, hey, I need to send Jesus. So thinking about that, God gives us hope during difficult seasons of our life. He gives us hope. In Micah 5, verse 1, thinking about difficult season, the Israelites as they're going through, marshal your troops now. City of the troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. That the siege was coming. In Micah chapter 5, there's a siege coming on the Israelites. Micah says it's coming. The siege is laid against us. Our ruler will be struck with a rod. The Israelites are going to be attacked. They knew it was coming. It's not something new. Micah's saying it's coming. It's happening. Can you imagine what they're thinking during this time? Going through this difficult season of their life, they're thinking, oh, not again. Oh, really? You're going to... Another attack, another time. Here's one more. Maybe even the thought, are we going to survive this time? Are we going to survive? Have you felt any of those feelings before? Maybe even more recently? Oh man, here it comes again. Am I going to make it to the other side this time? Am I going to get back up from this hit? Man, it just keeps coming. When is it going to stop? During these times is when we need to lean on God the most. Rely on the hope he has given us. His hope to getting back up. Knowing he gives us the strength to keep pushing forward. Our hope is in him alone. In Scripture, we continue to see how he lifts up his people through the difficult times. Countless lives in Scripture, God sees them through the difficult time. He gives them hope for the next part of their life. But here's the other part, is it deals with you and I. If we get out of our own way, we can see in our own lives, in the lives of others, the miracles he's already performing. But so often I'm this close to the thing happening that that's all I can see. I don't see how he's working in other parts of it. And in the difficult season and in the attacks, it's hard to see how he's actually working and to grab on to the hope and to trust in him. Because it's so close. We're in those times, we're so close to it and saying, well, I don't know. And so I can imagine the Israelites are like, oh, you want us to hope, but a siege is coming. We got to think about that. That's what where we're at right now. But he's saying there's something more. God wants you to hope for something more. He knows something greater is coming. He's working in our lives for something more. Micah 5 continues to share about the hope to come. Verses 2. Through 3, it says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. Micah shares that Jesus is to come. Another prophecy of Jesus to give hope to the Israelites. Another point for us to think about is Jason Lawrence Turner says, God offers hope for our deepest need, not for our most immediate need. I want you to let that sink in for just a second. God offers hope for our deepest need, not always just for our most immediate need. So in continuing chapter 5, verse 4, he says, he will stand and his shepherd flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord, his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. We will raise against them 7 shepherds and even 8 commanders. Micah, in these 5 verses, has shared of an attack to come. He has shared of the Savior to come, providing hope, saying there is someone greater to come. These last 2 verses, he shares that God will provide. He says he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land. Hold on a second. We already know that the attack is coming. There will be to be siege, and he says, hey, he's going to bring peace. An invasion's happening. That doesn't sound very peaceful to me. They will invade, but he will be our peace. The Israelites have got to be thinking here, what in the world, God? Peace? During an attack? Okay, we're already thinking this is happening again, but now you're saying you're going to provide peace through it. Why can't you stop this from happening? Why can't you say, we're not going to let the invasion happen? It's not going to happen. I know it should be coming, but we're going to stop it. And we know God is powerful enough, he can do that. And I think the Israelites, they know he's powerful enough, he can do that. And so I can imagine their questioning. And sure, he could have stopped it. But there was something more here. He wanted them to see something more. His work within the turmoil and the invasion wasn't going to make it easier, but to gain their trust and for them to put their hope in him. This is so telling in my own life. I would probably guess, maybe even for many of you, God, you can stop this from happening. You can fix this right now. You don't have to let us go through this. You could heal them. You could keep us from suffering or from the pain. We know God has that power and his ability. And God says, hey, I got you. Don't you worry. But it's not what you think. It's not always that fulfilling that immediate need in our life. The area where we want fixed right now, but instead giving us hope in the deeper need. He's working in the situation and in the need that is to come. He's working in you and I during the time as well, providing a peace that can only come from him. The deeper need, saying there is a peace and a hope in your life that only I can provide. And sometimes we go through that storm and it's not fun. But sometimes that's the only times we see it. Because before, when things are going great, I'm thinking, man, Tyler, you're doing good. Keep it up. My trust in him starts to waver. But he wants us to know that he can see us through those times. I hope you see the deeper point of this. The hope he is truly giving us. We gain it when we put our full trust in him, not in the things of this world, not in our own capabilities or our own desires, but in his capabilities and his desires for us. I might be making someone upset here in just a second, so please forgive me. I'm asking for forgiveness before we even go any farther. But I've been seeing these memes and these shirts for a while now, and I know they mean well, and there's probably a greater meaning that I don't know. I'm probably missing the point, and so you can just tell me later, Tyler, you missed it. And I'll say I missed it. I'm sorry. All right. So please don't hear if you have one of these shirts that I've messed up, and I'm sorry. Right. But hopefully there you go. Maybe you've seen this shirt of You Are Enough shirts. And I know what the meaning behind it. I know there's some good. Wanting us to understand we are enough where we're at. But lately, especially while writing this sermon, it hit me. That's not fully true. I am not enough. And it's proven each and every day. I am not able to do all that I need. I'm not even able to do all that my family needs. And when we're going through trials, I am not enough. But he is. So I want this shirt to be changed to, I am not enough. In the back saying, but he is enough. When my hope is in him, he will provide. Because he is enough. And that's what he's wanting the Israelites to understand. They are not enough. They are not enough to stop these invasions. They are not enough to stop these attacks. But to trust in him, because he is enough to see them through them. The last little bullet point I want us to think about is this hope that God gives us. We're preparing ourselves, remembering that he is enough. This last one kind of hits home a little with me too hard. Not only that he is, that I'm not enough, but God offers hope in the waiting. I am not good at waiting. And I know it frustrates Alyssa probably more than I should let it do, because I am terrible in the car while driving, having to wait on a slow driver or three, or having to wait on construction. Thank you, Highway 75. I'm not good at waiting on so many things. And you know what? I know many of you in here are not either. Because as a society, we're so not good at waiting that things keep changing because we hate waiting. We continue to want things faster and faster and faster. You know, I remember the days of this, the two-day shipping with Amazon. We thought, man, the world is awesome. We get things in 2 days. Yeah, I'll pay for Prime. I get it in 2 days. This is great. That wasn't fast enough. How about the next day? Oh, that's really good. Up here in Denison, that's great. Awesome. Love next day shipping. You know, if you're even lucky enough to live close to a distribution center, how about the same day? That's even better, right? Or getting on the Walmart app, changed my life, Walmart Plus. I ordered my groceries to be delivered to my front door within a few hours. Awesome. We're terrible at waiting. It's crazy to think that we want things so fast. And God offers hope in the waiting. You know, but this is also why, because we're terrible at waiting, why fast food, why we have that. And if it takes too long, we're getting upset. Oh my goodness, we had to wait 5 minutes in the drive-thru line. I'm looking at you, Whataburger. Or Dennis and Chick-fil-A, come on now. All right. But can you imagine what the Israelites, they were having to wait for this Savior. They were having to wait. The Savior wasn't same day delivery. It wasn't next day. It wasn't even 2 days. It was centuries in waiting. And Isaiah, through God, was giving them hope, or God, through Isaiah, was giving them hope of a Savior. Good news is coming. Here is what to look for. God is in the waiting. There's hope in the waiting. Isaiah 25, verse 9. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in Him and He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. He wanted them to have hope in the Lord, to trust Him. When the Savior comes, you will know. Rejoice in this time, because salvation is coming. God offers hope like none other. A hope in the waiting. As we prepare our hearts for Christmas, we can have hope in waiting. God has continued to fulfill promises and already has by sending His Christ through the birth of Jesus. But now we wait for the return again. We have hope that no matter how long it takes, God will deliver. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promises." Because as some understand slowness, instead He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but come to repentance. As we think about hope this morning, we focus on the hope that we have in our risen Savior. The Israelites prepared for His birth. They hoped for it. They could not wait for the Messiah. They longed for it. We now get to celebrate His birth. So we are preparing for Christmas. It's going to be it's a celebration because He has come. But we also continue to wait for His return. Hope for the day that we get to live with Him in heaven forever. What a hope to hold on to. Today, I don't know where you place your hope. Is it in the things of this world? Is it in the things that, are you struggling just placing your hope in different places because of where things are at and the troubles that you're going through? Or maybe you're thinking, I've got this right now. We're okay. My hope is good right now because I don't need God. If it's in the things of this world, maybe it's time to change that hope and put it on our Savior today. I know myself and our other ministers and our elders would love to talk to you about putting your hope in God and in our Savior, Jesus. If you haven't put your hope in Him, it's a season of change, and it's time to prepare. Let's stand and sing.
How great the chasm that lay between.